From the Jesuits of Canada and the United States, this is AMDG. I'm Mike Jordan Lasky. I find it difficult to pray with most Catholic prayer resources, whether they're written, video, or audio. This has less to do with the resources themselves than it does with my own mind, which is always evaluating church stuff from my perspective as a professional Catholic media person who makes church stuff myself. I imagine my experience is similar to a film director watching a movie. I bet it's hard for them to lose themselves in the story as they're analyzing shot choices and cut choices and actors' performances. There's one happy exception for my over-analytical brain, and it's the daily prayer app, Pray As You Go. Ever since it launched in 2006 as a project of the Jesuits in the United Kingdom, Pray As You Go has shared fabulous audio prayer programs that are spiritually nourishing in their beauty and their simplicity. Each day combines music, scripture from the lectionary, and short spoken prayer prompts that always get me to reflect on the scripture in a new way. Pray As You Go slows me down and actually gets me to pray as opposed to evaluating the content. Hundreds of thousands of people around the world love Pray As You Go too, especially here in North America. For years, I've been curious about the team behind the app. How does an episode come together? What inspired the format and why does it work so well? How do they want to grow? So I invited Emma Holland onto the show, who serves as Pray As You Go's director. She has worked for the Jesuits in the UK for almost a decade and has advanced from an audio producer to the leader of the whole project. I asked her to take us behind the scenes of Pray As You Go and share what she loves about her work. It was such a fun conversation, and if you haven't prayed with Pray As You Go before, I really hope you'll give it a try. You can find it in your smartphone app store or download daily episodes using your podcast player of choice. You can subscribe to AMDG wherever you get podcasts, and thanks for joining us. Well, Emma Holland, welcome to AMDG. Thanks so much for taking the time. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's really good to chat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we were just chatting before we started recording, and you told me that Pray As You Go has released an episode every day since March 1st, 2006. So we're coming up on 18 years, which would make the show old enough to vote here in the United States upcoming presidential election. That's a lot of episodes. Anytime I've prayed with it, I always found it so helpful and prayerful and well put together. I don't know. I imagine this just takes a huge amount of work. So I thought maybe we could start by pick like a random Tuesday or just one of these episodes. If I tune in on the app or if I'm getting the podcast on my podcast feed, what goes into like these 8 or 9, 10 minute long daily prayer, Pray As You Go episodes?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a really cool process and it's kind of a prayerful process as well. So I really enjoy watching it from beginning to end. But we actually deal with a week of Pray As You Go at a time. So we will, we kind of prayerfully just go into like choosing the scripture passages for each day. And that's a really, because you kind of get to see how the whole week is going to be put together. And then that gets sent to one of our writers. That's normally like either a Jesuit or a spiritual director. We've got some lay workers, kind of a 50-50 split, male-female writing team, which is awesome. And they prayerfully go through it as well, which is really wonderful. So sometimes they'll do their own Lectio Divina on it, or they'll do their own kind of imaginative contemplation. And that's what normally ends up for the script for that day. Comes back to me and I edit it. And then we get recording, also really prayerful. It's beautiful to watch people either come into the studio or remote record wherever they are. But it's normally very prayerful and it often ends up speaking quite prayerfully to the person who's recording for that particular day. So you can sort of see the spirit at work in that. And then I edit and mix a whole week at a time. Which is great. So choosing music that's going to fit with the vibe and the passages. And then, yeah, it goes for upload. So that's kind of the start to finish nuts and bolts of it, really.
And so you're sitting and editing the stuff yourself, or do you have like a team? Like, yeah, who's working on this all together, like in terms of like in a full-time way?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment it's just me doing the audio, which is great. So I've been doing the audio for like almost 9 years, which is wonderful. Yeah, it's just me at the moment. We're hoping to hire this year, which will be great. So widening the team.
So one thing I love about Pray As You Go, we can talk about some of the elements of it, is that like, I feel like I know folks who love it, who have all kinds of different backgrounds or experience with Ignatian prayer or their own faith journeys. Like for me, as someone who like did theology grad school and then like worked in ministry, like, I don't know. Sometimes I find stuff and I'm like, this isn't for me. This is geared toward someone else, like a different audience. But anytime I'm with Pray As You Go, I find like great stuff in it to prompt me, like a new way of looking at a scripture passage or kind of entering into it differently. And then I know folks who don't have that like sort of, you know, professional background who also really love it and resonate. And what do you think like explains that, the ability of Pray As You Go to reach like such a wide audience and to offer something like fresh and new like every day?
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, the short answer is I'm not sure. But the longer answer is, I think when it was set up, you know, from a very Jesuit Ignatian perspective of this kind of bespoke spirituality, that we're in this spirituality to accompany people wherever they find themselves. And that was kind of the original Jesuit mission that Ignatius and First Companions set out to do. And I think Pray As You Go seeks to do something similar, which is in some ways mad because it's so many individuals around the world hearing the same thing. But in many ways, I think it is just God moving through the choices that we're making in the editing process and just the scriptures for those days, just keeping it really, really simple and kind of applying those Ignatian roots of imagination and just a real contemplative feel to it, really.
Yeah, I guess so. If you're working with, you know, scripts and then editing, and so you've spent a lot of time with a lot of years of these entries. So what are you looking for in the scripts? Like what types of things do you find really work well? I know you're sort of starting to get to some of that, but again, as someone who's had a lot of experience, I'm sure like sometimes you might get a script and you're like, oh no, this, we need to shorten this, or we need to kind of rephrase this in a different way. What are some of the things you've learned about what makes for like a really strong meditation or reflection?
Yeah, I mean, it's really awful to have to cut scripts down. You've got to keep it to the time frame. But in general, there's kind of a sense you get with a script from the script writer. And it's normally, you can tell when they've had a really prayerful time with it. And it's often something that I've never noticed before about the passage, or something that has sparked them that I haven't, you know, heard in other commentaries and that kind of thing. So it really does feel very God-inspired. So there's kind of an X factor kind of element to it in some ways. But really anything also that doesn't impose too much on the listener. So we really try and come at scripts from a place of what is most going to guide someone and help someone, but not impose a homily or an ideology, because that's not what it is. It's actually, we're just sort of giving them something to go off and reflect with and be guided by God. Not necessarily by us. So kind of trying to take ourselves out of the equation as much as possible.
Another piece, again, that is such a huge element is the musical choices. And there are, like, I feel like, again, I've discovered a bunch of artists through Pray As You Go, especially, what is it? The one I go back to, is it, I don't know how to pronounce it, Kermusa.
Oh, Kermusa, yeah.
Yeah, this Abbey in Senegal, right?
Yeah.
Just, like, beautiful.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, where are you finding these artists, again, such a wide range, you know, not like any particular genre. I'm not like the biggest praise and worship person in the world, but I find like, again, like constantly like, oh, this is a really good, really good selection. And yeah, so what's the process of finding those things, of like getting permission to use them? Yeah, what are some of your favorites to go to? Yeah, bring us into that side of Pray As You Go.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, this is the hardest and the most fun side of Pray As You Go all at the same time. And when I came into it 9 years in, so there'd been 9 years already of music choices that I was kind of building on. Which was great. So Kermesa were pretty early on in the process. So they were already around from our former director. And in time, things like Teze is just a really, everybody, it speaks to everybody, I think. And in all the languages and kind of ecumenical sense of the music. And one of the visions of Pray As You Go was very much for it to be as broad as possible with music choices, and there's something for everyone, and you can't make everybody happy. And that's really, you have to let go of that. Hopefully at least one or two days a week, people will be happy. But I think in time we have added more contemporary kind of music choices, but hopefully we try and make them more reflective as much as we possibly can. So with music choices, it's normally anything, again, that's going to help the listener more than hinder them. And music choices are so personal. So it's just a really difficult one to get right. And some artists reach out to us. Sometimes we spot someone and we really want to use them, like Eliza King was one of them, and Porter's Gate by Frost Arts. We've been working with Salt of the Sound for years as well. But just the tone of it, I think Pray As You Go kind of has its own musical genre of many genres that tend to speak to people. But it's very hard getting licenses from certain labels. We've got one label, I won't name them, but we've been sort of emailing them at least once a month for a long time because we really want to get a particular artist. So sometimes it's quite painful. We can't get the music that we would like. But we try and keep it as broad as possible. And we did just do a user survey, and I think it was something like 87% of people were happy with the music. So
that's pretty good.
I can sleep at night again. But but I know we're not going to get it right for everybody. But hopefully.
I know you're a musician yourself, and have talked when we were setting this up about some like process of prayer with music that you're interested in. And I'm thinking about, like, so again, the music within Pray As You Go, and both within the daily episodes, and then all the other kind of other stuff we can talk about too, not just the daily episodes, but it's really grown and what you offer, is that it's not just like nice, you know, music or background to listen to, but it has its own space. You give the music time to be on its own, and then kind of inviting into that prayer. So yeah, how is like praying with music or having music invite us into that different than just like when I'm putting on headphones, like in the background, if I'm, you know, going on a walk or something?
Oh, it's just, I could speak about this forever. It's just wonderful. And it's something that the Father Peter Scali, who created Pray As You Go, is also a musician. And he, it was just such a core part of praying with music before you get to a scripture passage. There's something quite powerful about it. And for me, I'm kind of, I lead some retreats sometime as well, kind of more creative music-based retreats. And I've been working on this kind of Ignatian prayer style that uses music, so praying with music. And just even using a piece of instrumental music to pray with an examine style. So when the music hits a major chord, you can think about the lightness of something that's happened in your day or life. And you know, when it's minor, you sort of bring that anything that's been difficult in the same way you would do an examen, even in the same way you would do a Lectio Divina, sort of noticing something in the piece of music, a phrase or a lyric or something that captures you, and sort of praying about why that is. And the things that come up for people are really quite powerful. So I try and put some of that into Pray As You Go, especially when I'm praying with the scripture and the passages. Of course, if it's a vocal piece at the beginning, it's going to be relevant, hopefully, to the scripture or what we're praying with that day. If it's instrumental, I just really want to get the tone of it to match what it is that we're praying with, to get that atmosphere and to just be really praying and discerning through that process.
Do you have your own, like, in terms of your own practice, like ways of listening to music? Because I do find sometimes, like, if I am able to, like, again, not just have music on as a background, but bring it to something that I'm engaging with and like seeking to find God in. And as a big music fan, I can do this, like even listening to music that's not quote unquote like religious or sacred music, but to go in to listen just to a keyboard part or a drum part, to focus just on that or to focus on the vocal and then listen to it a few different times, kind of paying attention to those different things. And like, in some ways just being like allowing myself to be like kind of swept up in the creativity of someone. I love that too, like in live music performances, you know, just to sit back. And I, in terms of like religious experiences, you know, it's like going to shows of bands that are really good live and feeling like, oh, they're tapping into something, this like this human creativity, this sense of expression that is so distinctly human and to me is like reflects the creator. So yeah, what is your own experience of engaging music in that way? Do you find it it's different than other forms of prayer or even creative encounter? And how does it, why has it become such an important part of your own life?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think I kind of pray with music in a couple of different ways. I think, as I said, with doing like an examen or a Lectio Divina, that kind of thing, and just really noticing what it is about the music that speaks to me about God or that speaks to me about my relationship with God in that moment, and recognizing something about the way it's sung or the lyrics that were chosen. I think there's also something about, like you were saying with live music experiences, I think there's something about having that shared experience of experiencing music together is just a really profound experience. And I think with Pray As You Go, we don't allow people at the moment, I don't know about the future, but people can't choose the music they listen to. So actually when you're listening to A Day of Pray As You Go, you're hearing what everyone around the world is hearing together. So you're actually all experiencing this music, whether you like the music or not, you're experiencing it with so many other people. And I think there's something in that as well, to know that you're praying along with that experience, potentially.
Sure. And you again mentioned like reaching around the world and, you know, working on kind of accompanying folks, no matter where they are or even their own cultural background. One thing I think is exciting about Pray As You Go, like if you download the app or look on the site, is that of all the different other kind of content or resources you're offering beyond the day, which again is 365 times a year, so a lot of days, plus also the, like, for instance, our young kids, like they love the kids specific examen, which again, you can go and play multiple times in a week, and doesn't talk down to the kids, which one thing I love, but just kind of invites in their own language ways to participate in a real examen. So curious for you about, like, as you're, you know, at this stage, been there for close to a decade now, like what is the future for Pray As You Go? Like, what are some of the things you're working on or excited about now in terms of its growth?
Yeah, I mean, jumping on what you've just said about kids, yeah, we're just super excited to hopefully expand our resources for kids. We'd love our own kids app. That would be really wonderful. Our Spanish version, Rezando Voy, they actually have their own already, which is fantastic. So yeah, that's a major part of what we're doing. We're also looking ahead to technologies. I mean, Pray As You Go began in 2006 as a podcast, and that was kind of ahead of its time. I mean, they jumped on the podcast bandwagon pretty early. And same with, we were one of the first kind of Christian apps out of the gate, more or less. So we're always kind of looking for new technologies and that kind of thing. But we do have a lot of projects, some that I can't talk about, but we're collaborating a lot more with organizations. We've got some resources for prisons on the horizon, which is we're really excited about. We've our like in-person spirituality team have been doing a lot of retreats in prisons, and there's just been a lot of profound meetings with God happening. So we would really love to provide resources, Ignatian prayer resources for prisoners, which is great, and it's just such a fantastic project to be working on at the moment. So that's really good.
You mentioned you had done a survey of listeners and gotten some good feedback on your music choices, but what else do you know about your reach? You know, based in the UK, but I know you have a lot of American listeners, and also for your folks around the world and what they're interested in. So yeah, what do you know about your listeners and your audience?
Yeah, we know some. I mean, we don't track anybody on the app, which is a conscious decision. So doing things like surveys is really important to us. We've only done one recently. But we knew our audience was big in America. We're about 59% based in America. So actually not many people have heard of us in the UK, which is just, it's really quite funny. And when it's very popular in Canada as well. So I was in Canada with the Porter's Gate the year before last, and just so many people had heard of it. So that's really wonderful just to have that kind of global community. I think the most interesting statistic about our audience for me was that they came out exactly 50% Protestant, 50% Catholic, which was in some ways a surprise. I thought it might be more Protestant, but it's a complete balance, which brings me a lot of joy, honestly. And it's Ignatian spirituality seems to be quite a bridge for people. But focusing on the prayer, I guess, is the thing.
Yeah, because there are very few things that are, especially things that are Catholic produced, that are reaching people who are not Catholic. We are just so parochial often, I think. Like, we do stuff that's the Catholic stuff, we have our own. And within that, even the Jesuit stuff, right? Like, that we kind of have our own universe within that. So anytime we can build those bridges, it's such like a beautiful example of communion. So, but again, yeah, that's like, it's rare. And it's like, it's a bridge for you too in your own life, right? I don't know if you're willing to talk about your own background a
little
bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I denominationally a big mix of things. I kind of grew up more Anglican, evangelical in the Church of England, that kind of thing. But I've, you know, been around a lot of charismatic things, but also have quite strong Catholic leanings in terms of, particularly in the realm of contemplative prayer and sort of being very just inspired by the saints and that kind of thing. And yeah, just strong Catholic leanings and
So coming into like a,
to do this work. So
no, which is, yeah, it's cool to be able to build those bridges. I'm just curious for you coming in to the work 9 years ago, and I don't know how much like Ignatian background you had then, but what about Ignatian spirituality has kind of grabbed you, or you think is like the biggest gift, or why people seem to resonate with it across these divides? Like, yeah, what about it in your own experience, or what you hear from people makes the Ignatian way one that's still kind of compelling 500 years after it was kind of first started to be developed?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, it's totally transformed my prayer life and like my walk with God, and I'm sure it obviously has for so many people. And there is something kind of like what I was saying earlier about that bespoke kind of spirituality to it that kind of crosses over the divide of denominations. And when you look at the first principle and foundation of Ignatius, and that we are created from love and for love, and that we belong to God, and that everything kind of flows from that, I think that comes out very much in Ignatian spirituality. And there's a moment in the exercises where I think Ignatius talks about prayer being between the creature and the creator directly. And there's something about that, I think, that continues, and it has echoed through time. And it's just still so present in Ignatian spirituality now, just that idea that if you're doing an imaginative contemplation or a Lectio Divina, that God will speak to you individually and something will jump out. And that consolation doesn't just mean being happy, but when we, you know, discern things in our lives, just the power of sort of learning how to discern and knowing how to discern can lead to so many wonderful things, whether that's a job change in your life or stepping into a relationship fully or becoming a priest, whatever it is. I think there's something about getting to know and hear and recognize the voice of God that's so unique to Ignatian spirituality that I think is probably what captures me and maybe others too.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of assertion that God can deal directly with the creature, each creature, you know, got Ignatius, you know, thrown into the Inquisition's prison a few times, right? It was like kind of, at the time, it was like, you know, within the Catholic world was revolutionary. And I think even now, while no one's getting thrown into prison for heresy, there is a sense, I think, especially among Catholics, that like, no, our experience of God is mediated through the church, through the sacraments, through the the priest through the clergy, which I think I love. And, you know, I am a liturgical creature. And so that is my experience. But, like, I think because of that, then maybe we're not as familiar with scripture as a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters. Like, we haven't done it on our own the same way. Or, again, maybe we feel like it's harder for us to kind of step forward and offer our gifts because, yeah, father and sister kind of run this thing and I just show up. Mm-hmm. There is, like, a shift happening, certainly.
That's really interesting because conversely, like I think Protestants, the kind of attraction towards prayer as you go and Ignatian spirituality is they are quite lacking in more of the contemplative tradition that's come from Catholics in terms of Lectio Divina or that kind of thing, or just even a rhythm of prayer that where we're very scripturally focused and strong. I think there's been a kind of not a famine or drought, but, you know, there's a hunger for more contemplative practices, which I think
sure.
Ignatian spirituality bridges pretty well.
Sure. And I mean, that is something to me that is like, yeah, that's part of the tradition, but it's not, I don't think it's something that's necessarily been well offered. Again, sometimes I think, we, you know, as Catholics, we don't feel like we're confident enough to kind of experience this ourselves or to. So I don't think Pray As You Go, it does is it gives us that space that is, you know, this is it's from the Jesuits, it's church, it's institutional, but then the questions that it's asking, the way it's kind of asking us to read the scripture like into our lives. But along with the lectionary, you know, and along with the liturgical seasons, it does feel like it's a good kind of invitation. And even for me, again, as someone who's a professional Catholic, like I don't do a lot of like talking to Jesus prayer. Like I'm much more comfortable like in, you know, in a communal prayer setting. But I do find that Pray As You Go gets me into a place that I might not kind of naturally get to.
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, I think it's what you said. It's an invitation. And I think it's that accessibility to join in with praying with scripture. I mean, Ignatian spirituality is so heavy on praying with scripture that it's just so appealing and so accessible. And the idea that anyone can and should be engaging in prayer in this way, no matter the background. And that was an early Ignatian thing, which happened around the Reformation as well. So it was a very interesting time for this spirituality to spring up and to see what it's doing now. It's just kind of beautiful, I think.
So maybe you could talk a little bit about how you got to Pray As You Go. What was your background? Again, so you do the audio stuff and can do the editing and the technical stuff, but it's clear that you're also like, you know, really well-versed in the spirituality and really trying to bring those things together. So yeah, what's your own journey?
I mean, it's actually really funny because I knew nothing, like nothing about the Jesuits, Ignatian spirituality, or even Catholicism in some ways. The first time I heard about Pray As You Go was, I think, in 2007. My mum listened to Pray As You Go, and she is an Anglican, but she's a spiritual director. And she was just so excited about this new prayer thing that had music and prayer, and it was daily. And I was a teenager at the time, and she was really trying to get me into it. And I was kind of like, not that interested. And then I was also, I was doing quite a lot of contemporary Christian music even when I was a bit younger. So I was doing some session singing for a composer who was doing a Psalms project. And it got picked up by Pray As You Go. So I was one of the musicians on Pray As You Go. And I'd get these random, like, private messages on Facebook from people around the world just being like, are you the Emma Holland we heard on Pray As You Go? Thank you so much. And it was really sweet. But I was like, what is this thing that everyone keeps mentioning? And then I knew that I wanted to study theology. My father was an Anglican vicar, so I just had kind of some like curiosity about going deeper in theology. And I was meant to go to a university in the north of England, but I just made a decision. I just felt so drawn to go to London. And it just so happened that the university I was drawn to was Heathrop College, which was a Jesuit university in the heart of London, and didn't know anything about the Jesuits. And actually, even when I was there, I didn't have much contact with them. I did biblical studies mainly, which was taught by kind of lay staff and lecturers. So when I left, I had some understanding of what a Jesuit was, but not a huge amount. I then walked the Camino de Santiago, which was another kind of Catholic experience, which was amazing. But I wanted to keep studying. So I did a master's degree at the London School of Economics in social anthropology, which was really interesting. I loved languages. And towards the end of it, I thought, okay, it's time to get a job. And I wanted something that put everything together, the music, the theology, the languages. And my mom was like, I just don't think this job exists for you. I'm so sorry. But then I saw Pray As You Go randomly listed as a job and felt that it, I just felt so drawn to it. I felt so called to it, called my mom, told her, she cried. It's a whole thing. And just went in really confidently, and I wasn't confident as a person at the time. And it was just, it was such a calling. And I just kept, when I saw the job description, I just kept saying, it makes my heart sing to think of being in this job. And yeah, so that was 9 years ago. It still makes my heart sing. There have been hard days, but it was such a calling. And I've just sort of fallen in love with prayer through Ignatian spirituality and learned more, and yeah, it's been a wonderful journey.
That's great. Have your roles changed there, or did they just hand you the keys the day you showed up? Like, what was your journey through there?
No, I arrived just as an audio engineer and kind of content creator. So I was doing some of the social media design and the audio, and then it just kind of progressed over time. We had some staff changes, and then I was asked to kind of step in as director, and yeah, it's been a progression, but it's been really wonderful, and now it's growing, which is great.
So there's maybe one like kind of last area of questions for you, which is about like, so the technology, internet, social media, podcast world. So again, you said 2006, like ahead of the curve, which is cool. And I do think Jesuits kind of have this tradition of like being early technology, communications technology adapters, especially like being on radio for a long time, you know, before other kind of religious groups got on board with that. There has to be some adapting. At the same time, the internet has like become a place, especially social media, that like, you know, I've been disconnecting more and more from it. It feels like it's a pretty ugly place to be. What is the approach of like being in this space? I do feel like sometimes it's my phone, like in general as a thing, is like so bad for my spirit that I should just like get rid of everything. But then I'd be missing out on some good stuff. So yeah, what is like the connection? You mentioned earlier even like we're not tracking people on the app, right? Like we're, you know, kind of deciding what we are and what we're not going to do kind of in this space. So like, yeah, as you have seen the internet change and how people consume things and interact with each other, how has that influenced the prayer, the direction and growth of Pray As You Go?
Yeah, I mean, it's influenced it a lot, but more in terms of what we're not going to do often. But at the moment, we're sort of looking into what we can do. I mean, with things like social media and Instagram, I think the philosophy behind what we wanted to do on there was to make it an extension of our daily prayer time for people, so that we would provide social media content in a similar way as we do on daily prayers, to give them that snippet of something or like a line of scripture that stood out to people. We will post it, or making a reel on Instagram that's like a reflection. So that's how we enjoy being present, I suppose. In terms of other theological discussions behind tech, that's been a wider journey, I think. We did have a kind of workshop with the Jesuits about a year and a half ago, just thinking it through. And it was just fascinating what came out in terms of what we would and wouldn't do, particularly in the realm of AI. And that, you know, looking at would we allow, you know, those autobots that come on and kind of assess how you're feeling and kind of direct you. And they were very against that, obviously, because it's taking away that kind of direct link between the creature and the creator, and you don't have someone real accompanying, and there were good reasons for it. And I think AI is a big question mark, but things like virtual reality could actually extend quite well with Ignatian spirituality. So that's something we are gently stepping into at the moment. So we're working on a little bit of that, which is kind of exciting and creative, and we don't want to go too far with it or anything, but I think it would be a really wonderful realm to step into if done correctly. I think that's more or less where we're at the moment. But
So you mentioned that there are some projects you're working on that you can't talk too much about. But I am curious, like, what is keeping you excited right now in terms, you mentioned earlier some of the apps for kids. Any other frontiers, technological frontiers or developments that that are filling your mind and days these days?
I mean, kind of what's really exciting is we would love to do a kind of overhaul of our app. And we're in the early stages of that. But to make it a really community experience with our listeners, I think is going to be a really wonderful process. We've already got some focus groups set up for that. But making the app as accessible as possible, but also allowing ourselves to kind of be as creative as we can within the world of apps and just seeing what's coming up and how we can meet those standards, but also just really creatively step into something new. So dream a little bit with our audience, which is really good. And then also sort of touching on virtual reality, just looking at, again, how to be as creative as we can with a new technology that, you know, people are probably a little bit apprehensive about in some ways, but to allow God into that space of virtual reality would be really interesting, just in terms of imaginative contemplation or doing prayer experiences, for example, where Ignatius was himself in the cave at Manresa or something like that. It does pose some questions about if you're seeing something, is it imaginative contemplation? But either way, we'd love to be creative and kind of look around at what we can achieve and look forward to.
That's awesome. Well, Emma, thanks so much for taking the time and for all the cool creative work that you're doing. And I hope folks, if they're not Pray As You Go prayers yet, they'll find it. And I know for me, to know a little bit about what goes into it gives me all the more kind of admiration for what you're doing and the amount of stuff you do, just that sheer volume, but then also the way you're so carefully kind of putting together things that are so meaningful for a lot of people. So thank you so much for your work.
Oh, thank you. It's a real joy to talk about it. So thank you.
AMDG is a production of the Jesuit Conference of Canada and the United States and recorded at our headquarters in Washington, D.C. The show is edited by Marcus Bleach. Our theme music is by Kevin Lasky. The Jesuit Conference communications team is Marcus Bleach, Eric Clayton, Megan Leepsch, Becky Sindelar, and me. Connect with the Jesuits online at jesuits.org, on Twitter at Jesuit News, Instagram at We Are the Jesuits, and facebook.com/Jesuits. Sign up for weekly email reflections by visiting jesuits.org/weekly. If you or someone you know might be called to discern a vocation with the Jesuits, connect with a Jesuit vocation promoter at beajesuit.org. Drop us an email with questions or comments at media@jesuits.org. You can subscribe to AMDG on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And as St. Ignatius of Loyola may or may not have said, go and set the world on fire.